Пуст, а не подойдут ко мне. Do you understand what I just said? Unless you speak Russian, you would never be able to understand the words, let the little children come to me. Jesus wants to speak to all children in every land, and your church's Sunday school can help. For just $5 per book, your students can adopt an LHF mission project that will provide Bible storybooks to waiting children in other lands. Learn more at lhfmissions.org/children.
You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It is a hymn sing with Sarah Day, and I'm actually going to sing some hymns today, guys. I know, like, actual singing doesn't always happen on these hymn sing episodes because I just end up talking about stuff for an hour and a long time, but today there's actually going to be singing. Nice. Because we are in our psalm series. And we're talking hymn, psalm paraphrase. I don't know how many times I put hymn paraphrases in my notes. Psalm paraphrases today. This was so fun to research and also a massive topic. I was just not really lamenting. I was explaining to my husband last night, like, how huge of a topic psalm paraphrases in hymnody in general in the Christian church. Like, this is a massive topic. And I started planning this, I don't know how long ago. And then all of a sudden we realized, oh, we're recording this episode this week. So I had to buckle down and figure out what I was doing. There's a lot I could cover, but I obviously can't cover all of it. So there's a lot of resources. You can ask your music director at church if you want to know more. If you just start Googling history of psalm paraphrases in the church, there's a lot online, especially about the history of singing psalms in the Calvinist churches in the Reformation era. I'm going to get into a little bit of it here, but not nearly as extensively as you could if you go research this online, because that history of why we even sing psalms in a certain way in church is relevant to what we're talking about today. And I also promised that I would talk about it more in like several episodes. Psalm paraphrase, what is coming? So wait for that one. So here we are today talking about psalm paraphrases in our Lutheran service book and also a little bit throughout history. It's really fun, guys. This was like super extra nerdy today, deep diving into all of this. It was really great. This episode was also partially inspired. I think I was planning this episode before we started the Psalm series plan. I think I was already thinking about doing this one because of the Louis Bourgeois episode during Hymnapalooza, which was in 2021. It feels
Louis Bourgeois.
Not that long ago, but that Louis Bourgeois episode sparked this interest in my brain of doing more on the Psalm paraphrases because of his involvement in the Calvinist Reformation and getting kicked out of the church for writing hymns that weren't approved by Geneva and all of that stuff. So we're diving a little bit deeper into that. Of course, a big shout out to the Hymnal Companion from CPH. I don't know if I always consistently give them a shout out, but of course I get a lot of my information from the Hymnal Companion available from CPH.
You do always give them a shout out.
Okay, I do. But also an equally large, if not actually larger, shout out this time to hymnary.org because of the research and specific topical research that went into this episode. This wasn't just like picking a section of of hymns in our hymnal and specifically only looking at like a certain set of numbers in our hymnal. This was like, let's look at all of the psalm paraphrase hymns in all of the hymnals that ever existed. And hymnary.org was my place for that because you can actually like search for psalm paraphrases and it shows you way more information than you ever wanted to know. You can star hymnals and only look in your favorite hymnals. This is extra nerdy level stuff. But if you want that, it was really fun to go down several rabbit holes this time. I won't
it's
tell you.
It's a great site. I have used that many times.
I often have had excellent luck with hymnary.
Yes.
.org.
Big shout out to them. Yeah. Okay. So now that my mini commercials are over, if you want to know the psalm paraphrases that are in Lutheran service books specifically, there is actually, I found this after I started looking through several other resources. If you just go to your Lutheran service book, there's a little section that actually lists the psalm paraphrases in the back of Lutheran service book under like the hymns by topics, I think it's under. Okay. There's a little section that actually tells you which ones are psalm paraphrases, which
but
is
are they all included?
All of the psalm paraphrases?
Huh.
In our hymnal, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep.
I cross checked. I will not tell you how long it took me to write this episode. It was way probably too much time. It should have taken me for what will hopefully only be an hour episode. I cross checked the list in LSB with the list on Hymnary, and they match up. So
wait, where is
that's
it?
A great in the topical index.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, the topical index.
The topical one that I almost never use and forget exists, but it's actually really useful.
You know, the other thing I really wish would be in the hymnal, you know how at the bottom of the hymns, sometimes they will list if there's a scripture reference connection. I wish that were at the back.
Yeah.
Where you could look up by scripture reference.
That does exist.
The hymns. I'm sure it is, but it's not in the
it's
hymnal.
It's not in the hymnal. It's
and
a separate book.
And that's where I would like it would be in the back as like a cross reference. If I'm like, I'm reading this passage. I wonder if there's a hymn that goes with it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Wish list for some future day.
Yes. That is really useful. It does exist in a different book, but yes,
but
back of the hymnal.
Psalm paraphrase is nice because they also list right there very clearly which psalm is associated with each, which is also very nice.
It's really nice. I didn't know that existed until I started doing this. So that's a great little reference if you want to see the list and do some of your own nerdery research on your own beyond what I'm going to tell you today. That list is available in the back of your hymnal. What I think is really most exciting about learning which of our hymns are psalm paraphrases is that it can get us kind of out of the box of thinking that a hymn is only for a certain time of the year or a certain festival. I'm looking at you, Joy to the World. Because it's not a lot of them, but it can be kind of easy to pigeonhole certain hymns for only certain times. And to be fair, some of them, like an Ascension hymn or an Epiphany hymn, may be really only appropriate for that day. But there's a lot of hymns that we can sing and a lot of other times, especially Joy to the World. It's not actually a Christmas hymn. It's a psalm paraphrase hymn, guys. We can sing that one all the time. So I think it's just really fun to kind of get out of our ruts of when we sing certain hymns, because it's fun to sing hymns all the time. And so before we get into specifically the LSB hymn paraphrases, I do want to give you a mini bit of history about psalm paraphrases in Christian hymnody in general. And this is like super high overview. This is not all of the details. But we are going back to Reformation era. Congregational singing in the medieval church wasn't really a huge thing until Luther came along, just because of the style of singing in the Catholic Church. It was mostly done by choirs. There wasn't a lot of congregational singing happening. And so this can be a little mind-bending for us today, because that's like a huge focus for us, especially in the Lutheran church and other churches that came out of the Reformation. Like, congregational singing is totally our jam, and we do it all the time. We love to do it, and we love to get other people to do it. But it wasn't always that way. Luther really inspired this change during the Reformation. And we're actually celebrating this year. We're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the first Lutheran hymnal. I've talked about it before, the Achtliederbuch, the 8 song book.
Wait, the 100th anniversary?
Try that again. How many hundreds?
Achtliederbuch is only 100 years old? That makes me feel very youthful, actually.
The 500th anniversary of the
100th.
I wrote 100th anniversary in my notes. That's really wrong.
So the airplane was invented before congregational singing.
Anniversary, 100th times 5 of the Achtliederbuch, the 8 song book, also known as Eidlich Christlich Lieder, Lobgesang und Psalmbuch, some Christian songs, canticles and psalms. That was published in 1524, not 1824, 1920. 1924 was 100 years ago. Don't make me do math today. It's really bad. 1524, published by Martin Luther and Paul Sparatus. And I did a little bit of this history in a previous episode. There's a lot of previous episodes in this one, but I did talk about that in the Reformation hymns. There are also several other Enchiridions that were published very shortly after, including the Erfurt Enchiridion in 1524, which contains Elizabeth Krusiger's hymn, The Only Son from Heaven, which y'all know is one of my favorites. Mm. It's good stuff. And there's been several other of the Enchiridions mentioned in many other episodes. I will try to link a lot of those links in the show notes, but there's a lot of them that are going to be referenced today. So psalm paraphrases appear throughout most, if not all, of these books. I don't have them, so I can't like double check, but singing psalms was very, very common. Like we talked about last week, singing the psalms has been a thing in Christianity for like ever. So it makes sense that singing these psalm paraphrases would be in all of these hymnals. Lutheran Service Book 607, From Depths of Why I Cry to Thee, which is a paraphrase of Psalm 130, is in the original Auchtlieder book. So for sure it's in the first Lutheran hymnal. So back in Reformation times, there was this controversy over what congregations should be singing. And I'm not going to go into all of the details, but there was especially controversy between the Lutheran reformers and Calvin and his followers about whether we should be singing psalms only, if hymnody that was inspired by scripture but not actually the text of scripture was okay. How far do we go? Mm. Who gets to write them? Can you even sing in harmony? Should you even have accompaniment? All of these things were really big questions that were being talked about and argued during this time. And Luther and Calvin ended up in very, very different spheres of the answers to these questions. So German Lutherans were branching out into hymnody based on scripture and doctrine. Elizabeth Krusiger's hymn, a lot of what Luther was writing is in this area. John Calvin and the Calvinists were sticking very strictly to psalms, metrical versions of psalms, paraphrases of psalms. John Calvin wanted to return to the simplicity of the early church worship and to only do what God commanded, which in his mind was psalm singing specifically in unison without accompaniment. He wrote in his epistle to the reader in the form of church prayers, "When we have looked thoroughly everywhere and searched high and low, we shall find no better songs nor more appropriate to the purpose than the Psalms of David, which the Holy Spirit made and spoke through him." So he allowed this unison, unaccompanied psalm singing. And this is what got Louis Bourgeois in trouble. He was writing like four-part stuff that started being sung in church and Geneva didn't like that, so they threw him in jail, etc. So that was this controversy of what people could actually be singing. And that tradition of unison, unaccompanied psalm singing continued through a lot of places for like hundreds of years. That was their tradition. And even continues, I don't know if it's that strictly adhered to today, but that tradition of singing most, if not all, psalms is still followed to a certain extent in some church bodies and denominations.
So when you say singing them, is it like what I would think of as chanting? Is that the structure, or are these melodies that play out through the entire psalm, or is it more of the each verse of the psalm sort of does the same melody over and over again?
He did allow metrical versions of psalms, so that's written out in stanzas.
Okay.
Yeah, the one of the classic ones of examples of these is All People That on Earth Do Dwell, which is a metrical paraphrase and with a Louis Bourgeois setting, of course.
Louis Bourgeois. I'm going to cover this right now since we're talking about it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about metrical paraphrases, just paraphrases. I've kind of used these terms interchangeably, but a strict paraphrase and a metrical paraphrase or a metrical version are two different things, technically. Mm-hmm. If you have just a general paraphrase, it follows the general idea of the psalm, but it doesn't follow it verse by verse necessarily. So it's getting the big ideas, but it's not going exactly in the exact form of the psalm. A metrical version of the psalm is following it verse by verse and getting all of the details, but putting it into a singable format.
Basically taking the psalm and paraphrasing it just enough so that you can give it a hymnic rhythm and a rhyme scheme.
Yes. And a really good example of this is in the Good Shepherd Psalms 709, yes. The King of mm-hmm. Love My Shepherd Is, and 711, mm-hmm. Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Me. Those are both technically paraphrases of Psalm 23, mm-hmm. but 709 follows the psalm exactly. If you look at the psalm at Psalm 23 mm-hmm. and 709 side by side, they match up. It's not exact, obviously, but the way that the poetry is written follows the psalm exactly. 711, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead mm-hmm. Me, has the general vibe. This is a vibe. Right. Paraphrasing is right. a vibe
okay.
of okay. the psalm, mm-hmm. but it does not follow exactly.
And which one is which again?
The metrical follows the psalm exactly, it, okay. just in verse.
Got it.
The paraphrase okay. is the okay. vibe.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Cool. So the Genevan Psalter was first published in 1539. This is the Calvinist Psalter, which I don't know why I never realized this was written in French, just for all of for all of you to, I don't know why that never crossed my mind. I knew it was written like not in English, but this was written in
Geneva,
French.
They speak French there.
Right.
It's in Switzerland, but it's a French obvious. Part.
So this Genevan Psalter written in French, this was published in 1539 and then again in 1551 for Calvinist congregational singing. And this was eventually the basis for the hymn book for the Pilgrims, the Bay Psalm book that was published mm-hmm. in 1640 in Massachusetts. It was the first book published in the New World. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool. And then the first English versification of the Genevan Psalter was published for John Knox's congregation in 1556. The Scottish Psalter was published in 1564 and then again in 1650 by the Church of Scotland under the influence of John Knox, who was a Scottish Reformed theologian. He was a leader of the Scottish Reformation and the founder of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland. Hmm. And according to Voices United, Hymn and Worship Book of the United Church of Canada, published in 1996, quote, Protestants took up the monastic practice of reading the Psalms responsibly, as well as singing metrical translations where some texts were set to music with regular meter. Such versions were the only music that Anglican, Presbyterian, and other Reformed congregations used in worship until the 18th century, when freer paraphrases of the Psalms and other scripture texts began to appear from the pens of Isaac Watts and Charles Wesley. Hmm. So this is a long tradition in these churches.
And it's worth pointing out that Luther and Calvin and the other reformers did not invent the practice of singing psalms in church.
Correct.
That even before congregational singing, mm-hmm. you know, the monastic life involved chanting, you know, a whole lot of psalms, like the whole Psalter every week, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always been a huge foundational cornerstone of the church's worship life. Mm-hmm. But putting them into hymns and inviting the entire congregation to sing them together, it was sort of a Reformation innovation.
Yep. So the Christian church at large has been singing these for these psalms for a really long time. I took a field trip up to Chaplain Sean Denzer's office where I spent way too much time looking through all the hymnals he has out of curiosity.
It's a lot.
He does have a lot. Not all of them. He does not have all hymnals, but he does have a lot of hymnals. Also from a very certain time period. The publication dates kind of stop in like the late 1990s. So I don't have a whole lot of more recent ones.
He does have LSB. Don't worry.
He does have LSB. That's true. But I kind of wanted to just get a feel for other denominational hymnals that still have this separate section of psalms in their hymnal. And this, I'm talking about these psalm paraphrases as written as hymns. Because obviously in our Lutheran service book, we have the Psalter as a separate section, but it's not laid out as hymnody. It's laid out more for chanting purposes. Mm. And a lot of hymnals have a Psalter that's meant for chanting. So I was looking for hymnals that have a separate section of these psalm paraphrase hymns that are set with the rest of the hymns, but also offset. If we were going to take Lutheran service book and pull out these 28 psalm paraphrases that we have and set them separately in a separate section, that's what I was looking for. And granted, this is a very tiny cross section, but these hymnals have the separate sections. So that Voices United hymn that I mentioned from the United Church of Canada, a Presbyterian hymnal from 1990, a Book of Praise from the Presbyterian Church in Canada in 1996. There's a lot of Canadian and Australian hymns in his office. I'm not totally sure why, but it was curious. Speaking of which, Together in Song, Australian Hymn Book, 1999. Let's see what else. Oh, that committee. This was interesting. That editorial committee was made up of Anglican Church of Christ, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, and Uniting Church in Australia people to put that hymnal together. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting cross-section. The Psalter hymnal for the Christian Reformed Church in 1987. Book of Worship from 1973 from the Reformed Church of Australia. And Rejoice in the Lord from the Reformed Church in America from 1985. So just a little interesting extra level of hymn nerdery there. There's several other hymnals from like the Methodist Church that have a section of psalms, but they're more like the chant style that we have rather than a section of like hymns. So if you want to take a field trip also to Sean Denzer's office and look through the hymnals, you're more than welcome to come visit the International Center.
You know what? There's not a lot of things that he gets more excited about when, I'm guessing, when you're wanting to look at one of his books.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's a fun collection. Okay, so then in our, we're coming to the Lutheran world now. So in our more modern Lutheran hymnals, we have a lot of psalm paraphrase hymns, not as many as a lot of those hymnals that I just mentioned. Those sections are fairly substantial compared to how many we have. But we have them more spread out throughout the hymns where they fit appropriately topically, which is why we have that list in the topical section in the back of Lutheran service book. And we have that nearly complete, but not actually complete Psalter at the front of the hymnal that we use for like when we chant psalms during a service. So it's just, it's interesting to me to see kind of how that has evolved over the last couple hundred years of where these psalms kind of end up in different hymnals. I don't know if anyone else cares, but I thought it was interesting. So in our hymnal, we have 28 psalm paraphrases spread out throughout a bunch of different topical sections. You may figure out where they tend to kind of congregate, though, because there's a couple of sections where they tend to kind of all stick together. So now I get to tell you which ones we have. I'm going to tell you which hymns we have, their corresponding psalms, my own analysis of whether it's actually a metrical paraphrase or just a regular old vibe paraphrased.
It's the vibe.
It is. I don't know how else to describe it.
You're right. Some of them are much, much, much closer to the original text.
And this is analysis done by Sarah. So this may not be completely accurate of metrical versus not metrical. I did actually look at all the psalms and all the hymns and kind of decide on my own. I might not be totally right. So if someone has a different opinion on some of these, I am very open to being corrected.
Let me get up my typing fingers and see if I can keep up here.
Okay, so we have 340/341, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 24, written by George Weissel in 1642. 387 is Joy to the World, a paraphrase of Psalm 98, written by Isaac Watts, published in 1719. 398, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. That's a great epiphany hymn. A paraphrase of Psalm 72, written in 1821 by James Montgomery. 607, From Depths of Who I Cry to Thee. I think this is metrical, of Psalm 130, written by Martin Luther in 1524.
That one is, yep.
With a asterisk that it is the eight verses of Psalm 130 squished into five stanzas of a hymn, but I don't know that it still counts.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Yes, absolutely.
It's metrical.
That's very close.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, 656, 657, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. That is a paraphrase of Psalm 46, also obviously Martin Luther, published in 1529.
But less metrical, actually. More of a vibey thing here.
That is definitely a vibe one.
Vibe.
Yeah, that is not a paraphrase. Uh-huh. The psalm is really long. It's, 704, Renew Me, O Eternal Light. Paraphrase of Psalm 51, written around 1700-ish by Johann Friedrich Ruop. 705.
What? I would not have guessed that.
Right?
I would not have guessed that connection. Like, now that you see it, I'm like, yeah, sure. Psalm 51 is the great confession psalm.
Right.
And Renew Me, O Eternal Light, I would not have thought.
I know.
Sure.
Some of these I knew, and some of them were surprising. This was
vibe
really
on,
fun.
I guess.
I know. I love it when the hymnal surprises me like this. It's so great. 705, The Man is Ever Blessed, a metrical paraphrase of Psalm 1 by Isaac Watts. I didn't know that there was a metrical version of Psalm 1 in our hymnal. Who would have thought?
Yeah, this is not one we sing a whole lot, but maybe we should. No. I love Psalm 1.
I thought and there it is. It's almost exact.
Very metrical.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wild. Wild stuff. 709, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, a metrical paraphrase of Psalm 23 by Henry Baker, written in 1868. 710, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want, a metrical version of Psalm 23.
Also very.
Yes. Yep. Written in 1650 by Francis Rouse. 711, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, a Psalm 23 paraphrase written by Dorothy Thrupp in 1836. 723, The Lord is My Light and My Salvation, a paraphrase of Psalm 27 by...
It's almost exact.
Alberto Tauli in 1982. That one I may have been like, I don't know, it could maybe go either way.
I would say it's quite metrical. Well, it's excerpted.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at these and the words are almost exactly from the psalm.
And that's the thing. Is it metrical only if the entire thing actually follows or if parts of it follow? Like that?
So I'm going to say the closer to the exact wording of the psalm.
But is it like it needs to be a consistent chunk or is it?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to. I don't know.
There, still very close, but not necessarily like a. Yeah. This is verses 7 to 24.
Yeah.
Like that's section.
That was the math. I wasn't totally. I don't know. This could go either way, depending on how you're defining things.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is definitely more than just a vibe.
Yes. Yeah.
These words are verbatim.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. 727 on Eagle's Wings. Not my favorite, but I love the text. I don't really love the tune. This is a paraphrase of Psalm.
It's so hard. It's
91, written it also because it was written in the 1970s. 1979.
This is the one we agree to disagree on. So
yeah,
wherever you fall on this hymn, either Sarah or I has your back.
I'm not judging you if you love it. I just don't love it. Yeah. There are some hymns I just don't like, and that's okay. Everyone is entitled to the hymns they just don't like.
I think it's noticeable with you because the list of hymns you don't like is so much shorter than the list of hymns you do like.
It's true. That's very true. I think part of it is because it just spans a really high, like large range compared to most hymns.
I just don't
significantly like more than an octave.
Yeah.
I think it works better as a solo, honestly. Yeah. I think it always feels a little clunky when a whole church tries to sing it together. But if you have a soloist either for the whole thing or for just the verses, it's lovely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would agree with that. Yeah. 731, O God, Forsake Me Not, is a paraphrase of Psalm 71 written by Salomo Frank in 1685. 733, his name is just
Ooh. Wait, but is it a metric or
paraphrase?
Oh, it's the vibe.
Yes, okay. The vibe.
Okay, sorry, that's what it is from now on. It's either metric or the vibe.
I mean, because it's
because otherwise you keep using paraphrase for everything.
Sorry,
so it's confusing.
Because they're all technically
it's either metric or the vibe.
Yes,
and they're both types of paraphrase.
733. Oh God, our help in ages past, like super popular one. That is a vibe.
That is a vibe. Yep. I would not have guessed it. If I know the psalm really well and the hymn really well, and I would not have guessed that they were supposed to be correlated, then that's a vibe.
That one is an Isaac Watts.
Yeah.
A good old Isaac Watts one. 1719. 734. I trust, O Lord, your holy name. I count this as metrical for Psalm 31, written by Adam Reissner in 1533. Because it's the first, it's not the entire psalm, at least in our hymnal, it's just the first five verses of Psalm 31, but it does follow it almost exactly. So I count
some of these psalms are so long, you could not possibly do a verse by verse. I mean, you could, but it would be like 3-hour hymn.
Yeah, right. And I'm going to come back to that one because I think that one got like almost zero votes and I feel like more people should know it. So I'm going to come back to that one after I'm done doing the list.
I've never sung that hymn.
Right. This is why I'm going back to it.
At work.
Right. We sing it here a lot.
Yes.
And it's really good.
It's the only. You're right.
I think more people need to know it. So I'm going to come back to it.
Okay.
790, which is very much a fan favorite. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Also one of my, maybe my favorite of all these psalm paraphrases. Ooh. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 103 written by Joachim Neander in 1680. 791, all people that on earth do dwell, a metrical paraphrase of Psalm 100, written by William Keith in 1561. 792, do you notice that we're going in order now?
Is that also, did the tune, was this tune originally written for this? Because it's Old Hundredth. The name of the tune is Old Hundredth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the doxology tune was not actually written for.
Yeah. Right. So was this the one that it was written for?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah.
Sorry.
792. Uh-huh. So you notice a lot of these are congregating all in this praise and adoration section of the hymnal.
There were quite a few in the trust section too.
There were a lot in the trust section too.
700 is as a whole. There's a lot
in the 700s. Uh-huh. Yes, they all.
But that's what so many of the psalms are. They're about trust and they're about praise. Yeah. And right. So yes, perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? I love them all the more now. New Songs of Celebration render a paraphrase of Psalm 98 by Eric Routley in 1972. And this is the Louis Bourgeois tune that I love so much that inspired me to write about him originally. And I thought it was interesting that the psalm is 9 verses and this is a 3 stanza hymn. And so he, like, each of these 3 section little chunks in the psalm, he combined into 1 stanza. I think it's cool. If you read the psalm and the hymn next to each other, it's cool how we kind of paraphrased it all together. I really spent a lot of time doing this, guys. So, 797, praise to the Lord. Sorry. Praise the Almighty, my soul. Adore him. I also really like this one. This is Psalm 146, just a regular vibe paraphrase. Johann Hernschmidt in 1704. 804, O worship the King, all glorious above. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 104. Written by Robert Grant in 1833, 805, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We all know this one. Mm. Paraphrase of Psalm 150, because Psalm 150 is much longer than one stanza. Mm. Written by Thomas Ken in 1674. And I talked about this one in the evening bedtime hymns episode because he wrote this into his morning and evening hymn. Mm. And then we kind of just separated it out into our own because we sing it all the time. 808, O Sing to the Lord. This was written by Gerhard Kartford around like 1978, I think. So this is a paraphrase of Psalm 98 and Psalm 150 smushed together. 816, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. A lot of people commented that they really love this one. Mm. Didn't get a lot of votes, but a lot of comments for this one. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 117 by good old Isaac Watts. 820, My Soul Now Praise Your Maker. Probably my number 2 favorite in this whole list. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 103, written by Johann Poliander in 1540. 823, 824, May God Bestow on Us His Grace. My number 3 favorite on the list. A metrical paraphrase. I did not realize this one was metrical. I love this hymn. Did not know it was a metrical paraphrase of Psalm 67 by Martin Luther. In the Divine Service 5 liturgy also, if you sing that liturgy ever, this is included in there. 832, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun. That's an Isaac Watts paraphrase of Psalm 72. 867, Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds. That's also Isaac Watts paraphrase of Psalm 78. And 903, This Is the Day the Lord Has Made. Also an Isaac Watts paraphrase of Psalm 118. So that is the list. There were some surprises in there for me, but it was really fun actually comparing or figuring out all of the psalms and reading the psalms and reading the hymns and doing a little analysis. And also, a lot of these are written by Isaac Watts, who wrote a whole lot of psalm paraphrases back in his day. We have 7 of our 28 that are written by him in our hymnal. And considering how prolific he was, I think we need to have a little Isaac Watts recognition fest for a hot second, because he's come up before and I've never really told his story. I did not know his story. Hmm. And you can find a lot more about this in the Hymnal Companion. And if you just research like Isaac Watts online, you can read his entire story. So he was born on July 17th, 1674 in Southampton, England, the first son of Isaac Watts, the senior. Isaac the Elder was imprisoned 3 times for nonconformity, which is when you don't follow the Anglican Church, when Isaac the Younger was a kid. Isaac the Younger, he's not actually called that. It's just the easiest way to know what I'm talking about. Since they're both Isaac Watts. Isaac the Younger studied Latin, Greek, French, and Hebrew at the Free Grammar School in Southampton, but he declined university education because it would have required him to conform to the established church. And they were definitely a non-conforming family. It would have also meant using the old and new version of the Psalter in worship only. And they
it's interesting. This is the same, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, this is the same charge that sent John Bunyan to prison, which is where he wrote that, was basically preaching as a non-conformist.
Yeah.
Not holding to the official line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big thing in the 17th century in England.
Yeah, a very interesting history if you want to dive more into religious history in England. I think we covered it on our English Reformation series on the Coffee Hour also at some point in there. I'm sure we talked about it.
I mean, just imagine, like, you're getting imprisoned for preaching, not because necessarily you're a bad preacher, simply because you didn't go to the right university.
Yeah, basically.
Didn't jump through all the hoops.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Isaac Watts attended a dissenting academy in London run by Thomas Rowe. And when he graduated in 1694, instead of entering the ministry, he secluded himself in his father's house and he wrote poetry and hymnody and continued his study. And after he did that for a little while, he entered ministry as an assistant to Isaac Chauncey, who is a super unpopular minister of the famous Independent Church in London. He was called there.
I just love thinking, Isaac Chauncey, well known for being unpopular.
Yes.
Claim to fame. Unpopular bastard. Love it.
Yeah. All right. Isaac Watts was called there in 1702 after Chauncey's retirement. And he made it this really important evangelical voice for the dissenting church. Watts suffered from a lot of health issues, which really hindered his ability to serve in the church. But he served as a tutor, pastor, and writer until his death in Stoke Newington on November 25th, 1748. So we know him best for his hymnody, at least in the Lutheran church we do. But he was also this really prolific writer of education and philosophy and theology. He was writing catechetical resources for parents and these studies in theology that the students that were learning how to be ministers in the dissenting tradition were using in their education. And Watts actually ended up being this stabilizing force in the dissenting tradition because, we're going to get a little deeper in history, the Glorious Revolution in 1688, which is when James II was deposed in November 1688 and replaced by Mary II, and the Act of Toleration in 1689. I know we covered that on the Coffee Hour. I should try to link to those if you want to know more. This was an act to unite Protestants and give most dissenters, like Baptists and Congregationalists, freedom to worship publicly. Didn't always play out that way, but that was the idea behind this act of toleration. So the dissenting people thought that those things would cause the tradition of dissent to disappear because they thought that these dissenters were mainly in it based on the personalities of the people being persecuted rather than the actual doctrine. But Watts was writing this theological foundation for the dissenting tradition and really defending why they actually believed the way that they believed rather than just, we don't like the people. He was like, this doctrine is actually making sense and this is why. So his hymnody was sung from these manuscripts at Southampton College before any of it was published. And then his works appeared in several hymnals, and many of what we have, and I think maybe all of the ones that we have in our hymnal, are from the 1719, the Psalms of David, imitated in the language of the New Testament. And he wrote this preface explaining the theology of what he was writing. His hymnody was really meant for congregational singing among diverse theological beliefs, probably why we have a lot of it in our Lutheran church, even though he wasn't Lutheran. Mm-hmm. He intentionally avoided controversial subjects and stuck to the core tenets of Christianity, which is why we can sing so many of them. And with the Psalms, he was paraphrasing the big themes of the Psalms, really connecting them to Christ and God's work among his people, and then wrote them with poetry better than the poor metrical translations, but not quite so experimental as what he was using in his like private devotional poetry. So he really just wanted people to sing.
And that unity. Isaac Watts, he really was a wonderful poet.
Yes.
I think we often shortchange the poetry of our hymns, And as long as the rhymes are in the right place and the rhythm's in the right place and they sound hymny, that we're satisfied. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that occasionally someone comes along who can do all of that and make it really good poetry.
Yeah.
And Watts had a gift for that. That's another reason there are so many in his hymns in our hymnal.
Yeah.
Well, that is one of the things that I appreciate. I do. I love singing hymns, but sometimes I find that I notice the poetry more when I am not singing it. Not all hymns will do that.
So this is true. So speaking of that, let's talk about some of these. So we picked up already on the fact that a lot of these are written in the praise and adoration section, which is very appropriate since a lot of psalms are about praise and adoration. And that actually makes me like a lot of those a lot better because I have this weird Lutheran thing about, I don't know, praise things being like too emotional. That was instilled in me as a child. But I really love these praise psalms. The other thing that I noticed as I was going through all of these is that a lot of them were written in the 200 years between the mid-1500s and the mid-1700s. Not all of them, but a large chunk of the ones that we have were written during that time, that really high time of writing hymns during the Reformation, really wanting people to have good hymns to sing.
Well, and when a good chunk of Protestant Christians were only singing psalms, you're going to get a lot of psalm paraphrases.
Right. Yeah. This was also the time of the rise of the American church, too. So English-speaking Christians really needed more psalms to sing as well. And a lot of the ones that were not written in English, Catherine Winkworth would come around in the mid-1800s and translate all of them anyway. So there you go. She did translate a lot of the German ones that I mentioned. I did post a poll in the lounge. Y'all can go find it. We'll put the link in the show notes if you want to comment and vote on that. I wasn't expecting there to be like a huge winner in this because these hymns are all over the map. So it's hard to kind of pick a favorite. Not surprisingly, A Mighty Fortress came out on top. I was kind of expecting that. It was very interesting, though, that 790, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, came in a very strong number two.
I'm not surprised at all.
I thought it would be Good Shepherd hymns, but they came in at number three.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty is a good, good hymn. It is one of my favorites of all time. And I say that about as often as you do, Sarah, because I like so many of them. But this one is, the tune is wonderful. The poetry is wonderful. The psalm is great. And Catherine Winkworth, I think this might be my favorite of her translations. Where she really just did some of her best work.
Yeah, it's a great one. It really is. And I'll come to that one in a minute. But first, I wanted to shout out 734 one more time because I didn't actually check to see if it got any votes. But when I wrote these notes yesterday, it had zero votes. So I don't think this one
the hymn that's so ugly, it's beautiful.
I just don't think people really know this. This is also translated by Catherine Winkworth, the paraphrase of Psalm 31, the first five verses.
If this hymn were an animal, it'd be a scruffy little stray kitty that you picked up and brought home because it needed some love.
I really do love this hymn, though. It's such a good, it's in the trust section. So I may have talked about it once before.
I don't think so.
Maybe I didn't. I'm losing track of what I've covered already. So this is the first five verses of Psalm 31, which are, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." And the hymn goes like this. "I trust, O Lord, your holy name. O let me not be put to shame, nor let me be confounded. My faith, O Lord, be in your word, forever firmly grounded. Bow down your gracious ear to me, and hear my cry, my prayer, my plea. Make haste for my protection, for woes and fear surround me here. Help me in my affliction. You are my strength, my shield, my rock, my fortress that withstands each shock. My help, my life, my tower, my battle sword, almighty Lord, who can resist your power? With you, O Lord, I cast my lot. O faithful God, forsake me not. To you my soul commending, Lord, be my stay and lead the way now and when life is ending. All honor, praise, and majesty to Father, Son, and Spirit be. our God forever glorious, in whose rich grace we run our race till we depart victorious. So that is pretty close between the
That's
psalm.
That's really pretty.
And it's just a lovely, it's a lovely trust hymn. So the number two favorite after A Mighty Fortress, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. We've already said several times that this is just a fantastic hymn. This was by Joachim Neander, who lived 1650 to 1680. He wrote 60 hymns. This may be the only one that we really, really know. He was only 30 years old when he tragically died of tuberculosis. Oh, so that is really sad. He wrote this hymn in the last year of his life. And the most interesting thing that I could find about him is that he's been called not only the first poet of the Reformed Church in Germany, but also the Paul Gerhardt of the German Calvinists. Hmm. What?
Okay.
That's pretty high praise.
Bold claim.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They were writing at the same time, and they were similar because of their love of nature and eloquence in writing hymns. But other than that, theologically, they're about as far apart as you can get, because
How
Neander...
How do we have one of these hymns in our hymnal then?
I don't know. His poetry is really good, though. Neander was in the German Pietism movement, which Gerhardt obviously was not, so very different theology. Pietists were writing hymns focused on like a person's own spirituality and faith and devotion and fervor for Christ at the center. And Gerhardt was writing very Christ-centered. And sometimes he gets like blamed for being a pietist because a lot of his hymns have the word I in them all over the place. But if you actually read his poetry, that I is, it's talking about me, yes, but the subject of the hymn is still very obviously about Christ. So anyway, this is an awesome hymn for a lot of reasons. Very popular among American Protestants and American Protestants. Protestantism. I can't say it. Especially because of this tradition of praise and adoration. I want to go read Psalm 103. It's long. I won't read it right now. But it's very good. I want to at least sing a little bit of this one, though, because everybody loves it. Let me get a drink of water first. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Let all who hear now to his temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things is wondrously reigning, and as on wings of an eagle uplifting, sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord, who has fearfully, wondrously made you. Health has bestowed, and when heedlessly falling has stayed you. What need or grief ever has failed of relief? Wings of his mercy did shade you. Praise to the Lord, who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, as with his love he befriends you. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. gladly forever adore him.
It's so good.
I love it.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing that Neander died young of tuberculosis, I think will always make me hear this hymn differently now.
Mm.
You know, because tuberculosis was not a sudden killer. It was a mm-hmm. slow motion death.
Yeah.
And to hear things like, oh, my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who was chronically ill.
Yep.
Or in that last verse, all that has life and breath come now with praises before him. So Ooh. Here was a man who was having his breath robbed from him.
Yeah.
Slowly, and yet is able to confess. You know, probably at the end of his life, he would not have been able to sing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's still singing it today, I have no doubt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving me chills.
It's gladly so forever adore.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in a very similar vein, praise the Almighty, my soul, adore him. I get a lot of these hymn mm-hmm. titles mixed up because they're so right. similar.
Right.
Yes. 797.
These two especially. And they're both beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are. This one was by Johann Daniel Hernschmidt, who lived 1675 to 1723. It was published in 8 stanzas in Johann Anastasius Frelinghausen's hymnal in 1714. And our translation is based on Alfred Brauer's in the Australian Lutheran Hymn Book in 1922, but with some revisions from TLH and NLW. And another translation, I should have asked Roy Askins for this. There is a translation of it in the Lutheran Witness in 1928, but we do not use that one. Maybe for good. Hmm. I don't know why. But I did forgot
it's
to ask.
All up in the archives.
It lives in this building. So,
yep.
Hernschmidt actually got nearly every idea from Psalm 146 into this hymn. But although he had a pietistic bent, which apparently was very popular at this time in the 1700s, Christ and his atoning work are still at the center. And again, I would love to read you Psalm 147, but it's very long. So you can read that on your own and compare it to the hymn. And I'm just going to read this one. I want to sing all of them, but we'll be here forever. And I want to sing one of the later ones. So, praise the Almighty, my soul, adore him. Yes, I will laud him until death. With songs and anthems, I come before him as long as he allows me breath. From him, my life and all things came. Bless, O my soul, his holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. Trust not in rulers. They are but mortal. Earthbound they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal when the dark grave engulfs its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed, O blessed are they forever, whose help is from the Lord Most High, whom from salvation can nothing sever, and who in hope to Christ draw nigh. To all who trust in him our Lord will aid and counsel now afford. Alleluia, alleluia. Penitent sinners for mercy crying, pardon and peace from him obtain. Ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God, he will remain. He helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise all you people, the name so holy, of him who does such wondrous things. All that has being to praise him solely, with happy heart its amen sings. Children of God with angel host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia. That's a fun one too.
Yeah.
This is my election season hymn.
I was just cursing you.
Runs through my head on a loop during that time of year.
Yeah.
I mean, considering that the two hymns have such a similar title, like they're completely different content wise.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, this one is excellent. And you're right. It is a great one for election
Trust
years,
not
which
in
we are
in.
But
mortals.
Yes,
I love it.
Yeah.
And then 820, my soul now praise your maker. I love how much this hymn just dances, and I know that's has a lot to do with the tune, but it's just so fun to sing. Johann Grammen, who lived 1487 to 1541, wrote this epic hymn. It's been called the quote oldest Lutheran hymn of praise, which I think is amazing. It's a paraphrase of Psalm 103, but it's not just like praising for praising's sake. It's praising God in the language of Luther and Luther's understanding of God's providence and gracious disposition towards sinners. Grayman was Johann Eck's secretary at the Leipzig debate in 1519 and first heard Luther's doctrine and theology of the cross there. He was converted into Luther's reforms from that day. And Grayman had learned the rhythm of the Psalms as a student and rector of the St. Thomas Parish in Leipzig. And then the Grand Master, I love this part, the Grand Master of the Teutonic Knights, Albrecht of Prussia, invited him, Grayman, to help introduce the Reformation to that order's domains in Prussia. And so Grayman was looking for ways to cultivate the piety of Luther's ways of thinking. So these stanzas that we have are the original ones from 1530 and were translated by Catherine Winkworth, of course. Psalm 103 is beautiful. How long is this one? It's four stanzas. I want to sing this one because it's so fun.
It does dance. You're absolutely right about that.
Okay.
It's just so fun. Okay.
It is an excellent one.
My soul now praise your maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare claim. Forget him not, whose meekness still bears with all your sin, who heals your every weakness, renews your life within, whose grace and care are endless, and saved you through the past, who leaves no sufferer friendless, but rights the wronged at last.
I do love that
one. I just couldn't see is that Sarah was literally dancing while she was sitting here in her chair, just dancing, waltzing along to this one. Yes, it is. It does have a very dancing tune, but it also is very solid words. It's not just the tune that makes it good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will say this is one of the ones, knowing how this song dances, it's one of the ones that is most painful to sing if the organist doesn't get it.
That's true.
Yeah, if the organist doesn't dance.
It's got to move.
If the organist has to dance.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like waltz right through it.
Yep. 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 Okay. And the final, I want to give an honorable mention. It is not in our hymnal, but my absolute favorite Psalm 23 paraphrase is "My shepherd will supply my need."
Oh, yep. That's a good one.
I discovered today it's an Isaac Watts. I didn't actually know this before today. But it's so good. It's not in our hymnal, and I'm really sad about that, quite honestly. It's set to a Southern harmony.
Well, we already had three Psalm 23 paraphrases.
How many? But it is everyone's favorite.
It's so good.
That's true.
The tune really helps, too, because it's a Southern harmony tune, and those are just
it's lovely.
Favorites. Mm-hmm. It's just really good. My favorite arrangement is by Virgil Thompson, which is probably the one most people know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can link to a YouTube recording in the show notes. I do want to sing the first stanza of this one too, though, because it's just
the best. I don't think I know this one, so I want to hear it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll recognize it once you start.
I love it.
It's so good. Okay. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed, beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways, and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. So that's stanza one.
Oh, that's really
pretty. So beautiful.
Yeah. I'm always reminded, Sarah, of what a soprano one you are, because you have pitched every single one of these hymns like a good step or two higher than I would ever dare. And you pull it off.
Yep. It's true.
Kudos. Kudos to you.
Last night was Ascension, and so we got to sing a lot of Descants, and we got up to the high Fs and Gs, and my voice was like, finally, I can open up. So many hymns in the hymnal are just so low. Hashtag soprano problems. Okay, and I just wanted to bring one comment in from the Facebook, and then I'm done talking. And if you guys want to share, if you have a favorite or something, you can. I know we're like over an hour at this point, but this just this is like the short version of this podcast. Okay, yeah. So one comment from Amanda Barlow. She said that 8:32, Jesus shall reign, where the sun does its successive journeys run. 8:32 has new meaning now that I have experienced watching my toddlers learn the liturgy and sing their often mistimed alleluias and amens during the service and walk around the house belting out, "This is the feast." Verse 3 of that hymn says, "And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name." So it's fun how hymns change meaning throughout different seasons of our lives. And especially these psalms, because the psalms are always appropriate. So these are just, these hymns are so good, guys. I love them. Okay, I'm done. What do you guys have? What do you love?
They are wonderful. I mean, I'm never not going to pick The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Yeah, that's fair.
As a favorite. And it really is for both the paraphrase, the metric paraphrase of the words. Like it is beautifully done, beautifully written poetry. Yeah. And it has just a gorgeous melody. So with just spectacular four-part harmony.
Yes.
It is the whole package. So I'm never not going to pick that one. But I am also quite partial to Lift Up Your Heads, You Mighty Gates.
Oh.
I love that one. And I wish we sang it more. Advent is such a short time of year. But I do love that one also.
That's a good one.
Yeah, those are, I mean, there are many to choose from. I could name others, but those would be two particular standouts for me.
Awesome. For me, I've got to say, we may not agree on Eagle's Wings, Sarah, but we agree on a lot of these hymns. Aaron, I'm with you. The King of Love. I have four hymns written down as my favorites on this list, and that's one of them. Partly because it's an Irish tune. We don't get a whole lot of Irish tunes.
That's true.
I really love them.
Yeah.
They are very lilting and beautiful.
Yeah.
And of course, the poetry is lovely too.
Yeah.
Also on this list, I really like All People That on Earth Do Dwell. It's just a good, solid, satisfying hymn.
Yeah.
I don't regret it anytime it's in the church bulletin. Number two would be My Soul Now Praise Thy Maker.
Yes.
Again, because it dances.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Lutherans can dance, actually, believe it or not. And this hymn proves it. And then my number one is Praise the Lord the Almighty. I know, so basic, but it's just a good hymn.
Right.
Every time I sing it, I'm blown away with how lovely it is. Mm-hmm. So that's my list.
I love it. All good stuff. Honestly, you can't go wrong with any of these ever. They're all just really, really great. Ladies, I want to know what you love. There is a poll, but you can also just comment on this episode either in our Facebook group, The Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook, or on our Instagram, The Lutheran Ladies Lounge. We'll have some of these hymns posted throughout the next week. You can comment on those. You can argue with me about which hymns are the best. I would love to do that.
Agree with you.
It's true. They're all good. You can do that. Join us on social media. We'd love to have you there. You can sign up for our e-newsletter in the show notes for this episode. We send them out occasionally when our spirits are moved to do so.
More like when my schedule opens up. It's nearly finals time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But, you know, every once in a while, you'll get a fun little email from us in your inbox.
They are fun.
We will not spam you. You can count on that.
That's true.
Absolutely. No spam.
Nope. And you can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast is underwritten in part by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF translates, publishes, distributes, and introduces books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Learn more about their global ministry and how to support their projects at lhfmissions.org. Many of our hymnals with paraphrased or metrical psalms have, I don't know why, what is that sentence, Sarah? So our hymns.
Sounds like an outtake.
While we're doing outtakes, I just want to brag a little bit. I heard Ken coming up the stairs and I muted my microphone. So that when he came in and greeted us and tried to audio bomb us, I had anticipated him. You walk in and you go, hello.
Well done.
I love you, darling.
All right. I'm going to start that paragraph over.
Okay.